Blog Talk Radio.
James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio Network here at the studios of Blog Talk Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com, that's where you go. And you type in Patriot Nation Radio Network, or you can go to one of the links we have generously besprinkled throughout the worldwide web of international danger and intrigue. Okay, I do this on not on a regular basis, but today is one of the days where I'm going to do it. And I want you to join in with me. You know what I do on these days when I say, and I threw back my head and laughed. And what I want is I want that rich, robust, mellifluous baritone laughter that is gregarious and inclusive, yet at the same time, a bit condescending and disdainful. You ready? On three. One, two, three. You Democrat boobs. Okay, haven't got that out of the way. It's terrific to be here with you. And today is a good day, like I said in the teaser. Today was a very good day. Good for some, bad for so many others who don't fully understand just how bad. And to be truthful with you, I'm not exactly sure I have my head around exactly how bad it's going to be for these guys, because it's early days yet. And right now, we're in the immediacy. We're in the vacuum within the bubble of everything that's happened. And it's going to take a little time and space before we look at how seriously this has damaged the Democrats and the, what was it I heard today? The political entertainment nexus, which is, you know, Washington and Hollywood and the establishment news media. And I am including Fox. Fox is dead to me. They got some decent hosts. They got some pretty good guys on the radio lineup. The rest of them, dead. Dead like 4 o'clock. So today was the day. It was a day of reckoning. It was a day of consternation. It was a day of stupefaction for some people. A lot of people are losing their heads within the media. There's a huge meltdown as to what's going on. Now, it's not a surprise to me. It's not a surprise to you, oh, faithful listeners, to programs like this one and everybody else. We've had it right the whole time. It was nothing. Tonight is going to be Bob Barr night. I've got a number of clips. I got one from last week. And I have a couple of different ones that I've broken up concerning the press conference that he had this morning prior to releasing the report. For you and I, and all those people that are fundamentally rooted in reality, we have known what this report was going to be. So what has been revealed, the revelations that we're going to find in the report aren't really particularly revelatory to us, because we knew. Again, this was product. All about it was product. It's a phony investigation because it's based on this phony product, this manufactured intelligence. We'll get into that in a little bit. What I would like to do now, Attorney General Barr has these guys freaking out. Last week, he was testifying to the Senate, and Democrat Senator Jeanne Shaheen was and at first it started out he was there to testify concerning budgetary issues, but given the immediacy of the release of the Mueller report and what Attorney General Barr has stated his intentions were going to be, naturally it turned to that. This is about 5 minutes. Attorney General Barr, Senator Jeanne Shaheen, I think last Thursday.
For us to be affected by these rulings. I want to go back to your comments about the four reasons that you intend to redact portions of the special counsel's report. The fourth one was information that would unduly infringe on the personal privacy and reputational interests of peripheral third parties. Does that mean that you will redact information to protect the reputational interests of the president?
No. I'm talking about people in private life.
Okay.
Not public office holders.
Thank you. News just broke today that you have a special team looking into why the FBI opened an investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 elections. I wonder if you can share with this committee who's on that team, why you felt a need to form that kind of a team, and what you intend to be the scope of their investigation.
Yeah, as I said in my confirmation hearing, I am going to be reviewing both the genesis and the conduct of intelligence activities directed at the Trump campaign during 2016. A lot of this has already been investigated, and a substantial portion of it has been investigated and is being investigated by the Office of Inspector General at the Department. But one of the things I want to do is pull together all the information from the various investigations that have gone on, including on the Hill and in the Department, and see if there are any remaining questions to be addressed.
And can you share with us why you feel a need to do that?
Well, for the same reason we're worried about foreign influence in elections, we want to make sure that during I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It's a big deal. Generation I grew up in, which is the Vietnam War, period, you know, people were all concerned about spying on sure. anti-war people and so forth by the government. And there were a lot of rules put in place to make sure that there's an adequate basis before our law enforcement agencies get involved in political surveillance. I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at that. And I'm not just, I'm not talking about the FBI necessarily, but intelligence agencies more broadly.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I don't, well, I guess you could, I think there was a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me...
The question is whether it was predicated, adequately predicated, and I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation. Congress is usually very concerned about intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane, and I want to make sure that happened. We have a lot of rules about that, and I want to say that I've said I'm reviewing this. I am going. I haven't set up a team yet, but I do have. I have in mind having some colleagues help me pull all this information together and let me know whether there's some areas that should be looked at. And I also want to make clear this is not launching an investigation of the FBI. I, frankly, to the extent there were any issues at the FBI, I do not view it as a problem that's endemic to the FBI. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon, and so I don't like to hear attacks about the FBI because I think the FBI is an outstanding organization, and I think, you know, Chris Wray is a great partner for me. I'm very pleased that he's there as the director, and if it becomes necessary to look over some former officials' activities, I expect that I'll be relying heavily on Chris and work closely with him in looking at that information. But that's what I'm doing. I feel I have an obligation to make sure that government power is not abused. I mean, I think that's one of the principal roles of the Attorney General.
Agreed. And again, that little interchange between Attorney General Barr and Senator Jeanne Shaheen is why everybody's nervous. Very, very nervous. They want to know who he's going to have on his team. Who's going to be looking? Why you want to look into this? What makes you think you should? And see, here's the thing. William Barr is not a stupid man. He's a rock-solid guy. He's a professional. And if he has not been bought, it is incumbent upon him to look at the genesis of this investigation. He's going to look into that. How did this get started? How did it get this far? These guys are kind of worried because, see, they were sloppy. And we've seen a lot of their sloppiness almost within days or weeks of the sloppiness occurring. You know, as it unfolds, we find out. So there's always been, over the last 2 years, this cascade of information that, number one, the bombshells released in the news media, and then, you know, people start to look into it. And I'm not talking about the people at CNN or even at Fox News, although there are some people doing good work there. Sean Hannity, Greg Jarrett, and contributors like Sarah Carter and John Solomon. But it extends beyond those kind of people, too. In time of war, in time of military conflict, from the beginning of this country, we have relied upon what to rally to the country's defense? That's right. That's right. The citizen soldier. When the time came, he laid down the reins of the plow horse and he picked up the rifle. He did it in the Revolution. He did it in the War of 1812. They did it in the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, the First World War, every military conflict that we've had, it has been incumbent upon the citizen soldier. Well, in this particular war, as crazy old Alex Jones calls it, info war, the information wars, there is the citizen journalist. Now, I'm not one. I'm the citizen armchair bloviator. I'm just a news and commentary guy, throwing my 2 cents worth. That's it. I don't break any stories. I don't scoop anybody. I find the stuff, the good work that good people out there are doing, and I share it with you. That's all I do. So I'm not one of those people. But when I talk about the citizen journalists, I'm talking about the people whose information I share with you. Our friend Sundance, and I'm going to make contact with whoever Sundance is, because I would love to have them on this program. People like Sundance from the Conservative Treehouse, American Thinker, frontpagemag.com, Gary Benford, Nation Savers, 2018. The Thinkers and the Shapers, the people who are actually doing work, Don Niewin, Donna Fiducia, Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum, all the great people were at ACP's new home, Mojo, 5-0 Radio. These are the citizen journalists. These are the people that are digging, that are doing the work, the stuff that I share with you. I can't take credit for any of it. I stand on their shoulders and thank God for them. So we have the citizen journalists now, and the medium has changed, and they can't cover things up like they used to. And they have a huge operation going, guys. I mean, they can cover it up for a little while, but eventually, you know, it all falls out. And that's what we're going to see. The next clip we've got, again, Attorney General Barr. He had about a 25-minute press conference today prior to the release of the report. And I went through and I listened to it, and it was really good. But it's 25 minutes, and I don't want to devote all that time to it. What I've done, though, is I've kind of separated the two crucial things, collusion and obstruction. Now, collusion and obstruction. Number one, collusion is not a crime, although in certain instances, if proved reliably, the evidence of collusion or the evidence discovered through collusion that leads to other crimes is possible, not the case in this instance. So we have collusion and we have obstruction. Collusion and obstruction are the mandates that were given by the Justice Department to Robert Mueller. Oh, by the way, ¿quién es más macho? Donald Trump, Roberto Mueller. Okay? See, Donald Trump is más macho. It's más macho, Roberto Mueller. Mucho macho, muchacho. Okay, haven't gotten that out of the way. So, it's a fun night, guys. I'm not going to get too heavy. We are going to get a little bit weedy, but we're just doing it to go into the weeds. We're not necessarily chasing anybody. We're just familiarizing ourselves with the area, an orientation excursion, you might say. So, the mandate is to look for, number one, collusion, number two, obstruction of justice. 448-page report says, this kind of looks like it, and this over here sort of looked like it. And then at one time when he said this, we kind of thought, and the reason we thought that was based on Smith versus Jones et al., 1943, and you know, the decision there. And so what it was, and I'm reminded because I didn't look at all of it. I'm going to read it over the weekend. Got to. But I looked at enough of it. It reminded me of term papers that I had to write in college. And you cited a lot of crap and you footnoted a lot of crap. And, if you threw enough, you know, the doctrine was if you throw enough poop on the wall, something's going to stick. And then you take what sticks and you work it from there. And that's kind of like what the Mueller report is. Now, It's 448 pages. It's dry as dust. There is some meat. But basically, it's a declination letter. I mean, if they cite all the reasons why they can't prosecute, because there's nothing there. Anyway, I digress before we get too far along here. Attorney General Barr, this is from about 4 minutes into his presence. He starts out, and something I want to talk about Rod Rosenstein here in just a second. Attorney General Barr today in comments before release of the Mueller report.
But the special counsel found no evidence that any American, including anyone associated with the Trump campaign, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government or the IRA in this illegal scheme. Indeed, as the report states, quote, the investigation did not identify evidence that any U.S. person knowingly or intentionally coordinated with the IRA's interference operation, unquote. Put another way, the special counsel found no collusion by any Americans in IRA's illegal activities. Second, the report details efforts by the Russian military officials associated with the GRU, the Russian Military Intelligence Organization, to hack into computers and steal documents and emails from individuals associated with the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's campaign for the purpose of eventually publicizing these documents. Obtaining such unauthorized following a thorough investigation of these hacking operations, the special counsel brought charges to court against several Russian military officers for their respective roles in these illegal hacking operations. Those charges are still pending, and the defendants remain at large. But again, the special counsel's report did not find any evidence that members of the Trump campaign or anyone associated with the campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these hacking operations. In other words, there was no evidence of the Trump campaign collusion with the Russian government's hacking. The special counsel's investigation also examined Russian efforts to publish stolen emails and documents on the internet. The special counsel found that after the GRU disseminated some of the stolen documents to entities that it controlled, DC Leaks and Guccifer II, the GRU transferred some of the stolen materials to WikiLeaks for publication. WikiLeaks then made a series of document dumps. The special counsel also investigated whether any member or affiliate of the Trump campaign encouraged or otherwise played a role in these dissemination efforts. Under applicable law, publication of these types of material would not be criminal unless the publisher also participated in the underlying hacking conspiracy. Here, too, the special counsel's report did not find that any person associated with the Trump campaign illegally participated in the dissemination of the materials. Finally, the special counsel investigated a number of links or contacts between the Trump campaign officials and individuals connected with the Russian government during the 2016 presidential campaign. After reviewing these contacts, the special counsel did not find any conspiracy to violate U.S. law involving Russian-linked persons and any persons associated with the Trump campaign. So that's the bottom line. After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants, and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts. After finding no underlying collusion with Russia, the special counsel's report goes on to consider whether certain actions of the president could amount to obstruction of the special counsel's investigation. As I addressed in my March 24th letter, the special counsel did not make a traditional prosecutorial judgment regarding this allegation. Instead, the report recounts 10 episodes involving the president and discusses potential legal theories for connecting those activities to the elements of an obstruction offense. After carefully reviewing the facts and legal theories outlined in the report, and in consultation with the Office of Legal Counsel and other department lawyers, the Deputy Attorney General and I concluded that the evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Although the Deputy Attorney General and I disagreed with some of the special counsel's legal theories and felt that some of the episodes examined did not amount to obstruction as a matter of law, we did not rely solely on that in making our decision. Instead, we accepted the special counsel's legal framework for purposes of our analysis and evaluated the evidence as presented by the special counsel in reaching our conclusions. In assessing the president's actions discussed in the report, it is important to bear in mind the context. President Trump faced an unprecedented situation. As he entered into office and sought to perform his responsibilities as president, federal agents and prosecutors were scrutinizing his conduct before and after taking office and the conduct of some of his associates. At the same time, there was relentless speculation in the news media about the president's personal culpability. Yet, as he said from the beginning, there was in fact no collusion. And as the special counsel's report acknowledges, there is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks. Nonetheless, the White House fully cooperated with the special counsel's investigation, providing unfettered access to campaign and White House documents, directing senior aides to testify freely, and asserting no privilege claims. And at the same time, the president took no act that in fact deprived the special counsel of the documents and witnesses necessary to complete his investigation. Apart from whether the acts were obstructive, this evidence of non-corrupt motives weighs heavily against any allegation that the president had a corrupt intent to obstruct the investigation. Now, before I take questions, I want to address a few aspects of the process for producing the public report that I am releasing today. As I said several times, the report contains limited redactions related to four categories of information. To ensure as much transparency as possible, those...
Okay, sorry about that. That ran a little bit long. I wanted to cut it off quicker than that, and I was having a little trouble. Just so everybody understands what Attorney General Barr is saying, not only was there no collusion to be found, no obstruction to be found, either in the campaign or through the White House during the first 2 years of its administration, no resistance was offered to the Mueller investigation. None. They cooperated fully with the Mueller investigation. They did not exercise the doctrine of executive privilege on anything. This guy has been an open book from the day he said, you know what? I think I'm the guy to make America great again, people. I think I'm that guy. So today I say to you, I'm running for president, everybody. You got to vote for me. We're going to make America great again. And boom, by God, he was elected president. Nobody in their wildest dreams thought it was going to, everybody on the Democrat side thought that this was going to be a slam dunk for Hillary. This was going to be Barack Obama 3.0. This was going to be William Blythe or Jefferson Blythe Clinton 3.0 with Hillary Rodman Clinton Jr. III. As president of the United States. But something happened. And it didn't work out. in spite of everything, in spite of everything the Democrats did, in spite of everything that those people operating in the halls of power within the Office of Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, within the directorship of the Central Intelligence Agency, come on, say it with me, Johnny Red, John Brennan, the halls of the FBI, Jim Comey, Alexander McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, at the Department of Justice, Loretta Lynch, Sally Yates, Bruce Orr. All these people, in spite of their best efforts, 64 million American people said, no, we're not going to go with that. And Hillary Clinton was no longer the slam dunk. But the problem was all these people that I just mentioned, plus many more, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, they all thought Hillary was going to win. They, honest to God, really thought she was going to win. And if she won, well, there's not going to be any investigation. There's going to be a party. So, lots of I's and T's got undotted and uncrossed. So they had to change gears. And they had to move away from fixing the election using this information, this product that we've talked about so many times, the Steele dossier. They had to try and impeach him. They had to drive him from office. Now we move into coup territory. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we return on the other side of the musical interlude that's coming up. You are listening to A Conservative's Perspective right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Back with more of ACP right after this.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy, 'cause I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low, any way the wind blows, doesn't really matter to me.
Let me blow. phenomenon.
They will not let you blow.
Let me jump.
Do not like your jokes.
Let me jump.
Do not like your jokes.
Let me jump.
No, 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 no.
Bernigini, Bernigini.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Scooter?
Yeah, Chief?
Remind me to stop setting up these video conferences. They're not very productive.
You got it.
Sheesh.
Thank you.
man. Well done. James Bosker, that, of course, Bad is Bad, Huey Lewis, and the Gnus. One of my karaoke standards from back in the old time. Yes. Yes, I am a retired karaoke singer. And back in the wide 90s, which came after the big 80s, you know, karaoke was all the rage. And once upon a time, I flattered myself to have a pretty decent singing voice. But, you know, I flattered myself. And we would go out, a buddy of mine, Jimmy Monarchy, one prince of a fellow, my brother, I love him so much. We would go out in the old-timey days. And at the karaoke bars, man, and we would that was one of my standards. Did a lot of Elvis, too, also retired Elvis Presley impersonator. Country music. We just did a lot of, you know, we had a pretty eclectic song mix of stuff that we like to play as, and we also flattered ourselves to say we were guitar players, too. But anyway, a couple of bleary-eyed, half-drunk, honky-tonk heroes, drugstore cowboys, and we'd be out there doing our thing. But we had a good time with it, and Huey Lewis is great, whether you're listening to him or a really good karaoke version, which I was, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Back to ACP, welcome. It's good to be here with you. Tuesdays, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are live here at Patriot Nation Radio Network through the auspices of blogtalkradio.com. But enough of that. We also have a live show, or not a live show, a recorded show that goes on Sundays at 4 p.m. on the Mojo 50 Radio Network. Mojo 50. You go to mojo50.com. You can listen there, or they have an app available out on iHeartRadio. You can catch it there. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts. It's another level to the Talk America Radio Network. It's run by the same outstanding people. So, you know, it's just really top drawer stuff, and I'm happy to be there. Second part of the presser today that Attorney General Barr gave. And, you know, I talked about, well, we're going to talk about one guy has been at the Justice Department throughout all this. He's been there for a long time. He's been there for 30 years. He was there during the Obama administration. And he's the Assistant Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. There is a school of thought, and if we look at what is becoming more and more a heavier load in terms of the preponderance of evidence against Assistant Attorney General Rosenstein. He was probably one of the guys that put his signature to a FISA surveillance application. And that would have been against Carter Page. Rod Rosenstein had made arrangements to retire at the end of February. Attorney General William Barr said, no, Rod, you're going to stay here with me and you're going to work with me in cleaning this mess up. I know you'd like to take the easy way out, but I am not of a mind to let you do that. So today at the press conference, standing behind William Barr, Attorney General, to his left shoulder. If you looked over his left shoulder, there was Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein looked like an animatronic dummy. He looked like he had a dead fish for a tie tack. He looked like he would much rather be anywhere in the world other than where he was. It was an expressionless mask that he had on his face. Do you know why? Well, I'm not exactly sure myself, but I can hazard a pretty solid guess. Because he knows what William Barr as Attorney General is capable of doing. He knows the commitment level of Attorney General Barr's intention to investigate the genesis of this sham, this coup attempt. If you can go back, you want to go, you can Google it. You go to, I think it's on Breitbart too. You can go to Breitbart and, you know, Attorney General Barr, AG Barr press conference. And just watch it. You know, they come out, and like I said, first couple of minutes, it's the, hey, how you doing? Great to have you here. Good to see you all. Thank you for coming. You know, it's been a long time. You know, the niceties, the preamble. And then what you heard tonight, the meat of it, and we're coming up to that right now. But Rod Rosenstein did not look as though he wished to be there. He did not look as though he wished to be associated with any of this. And yet, as Assistant Attorney General, he had no choice. And he wasn't in a position to where he could insist upon stepping down, I don't think. I think he has to bow to the pressure of the Attorney General. The second part of this, three and a half minutes or so, just as important as what we heard earlier, from today, Attorney General William Barr.
Now, before I take questions, I want to address a few aspects of the process for producing the public report that I am releasing today. As I said several times, the report contains limited redactions related to four categories of information. To ensure as much transparency as possible, those redactions have been clearly labeled so that the readers can tell which redactions correspond to which categories. Now, as I to recall, those categories are 6E material, grand jury material, information that the IC believes would disclose sources and methods, information that would impair the investigation and prosecution of other cases that are underway, and finally, information that implicates the privacy and reputational interests of peripheral third parties. As you will see, most of the redactions were compelled by the need to prevent harm to ongoing matters and to comply with court orders prohibiting the public disclosure of information bearing on ongoing investigations and criminal cases, such as the IRA case and the Roger Stone case. These redactions were applied by Department of Justice attorneys working closely together with attorneys from the special counsel's office, as well as the intelligence community, and prosecutors are handling the ongoing cases. The redactions are their work product. No redactions done by anybody outside this group. There were no redactions done by anybody outside this group. No one outside this group proposed any redactions. And no one outside the department has seen the unredacted report, with the exception of certain sections that were made available to IC, the intelligence community, for their advice on protecting intelligence sources and methods. Consistent with longstanding executive branch practice, the decision whether to assert executive privilege over any portion of the report rested with the President of the United States. Because the White House had voluntarily cooperated with the special counsel, significant portions of the report contained material over which the President could have asserted privilege, and he would have been well within his rights to do so. Following my March 29th letter, the Office of the White House Counsel requested the opportunity to review the redacted version of the report in order to advise the President on the potential invocation of privilege, which is consistent with longstanding practice. Following that review, the President confirmed that in the interest of transparency and full disclosure to the American people, he would not assert privilege over the special counsel's report. Accordingly, the public report I am releasing today contains redactions only for the four categories that I previously outlined, and no material has been redacted based on executive privilege.
Nothing. Nothing is held back. Now, and this is going to probably, and I think historians should record it, in terms of the Trump administration and the level of cooperation that was given by the president and the White House in general to the Mueller investigation, I really don't think there can be any question as to the commitment to transparency that the Trump administration has, that the president has. The guy's been an open book, man. This has been the greatest, most expensive, long-term proctological examination in the history of politics. And there's nothing there. Here's the thing. I got a few more minutes. I'm just going to rant on this and wind it up. On the news, here's what you're going to hear from Matt Al, from Chris Matthews, from dude, what's his name? Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, from what's that other guy's name? Matt Al, Rachel Matt Al, from Lawrence O'Donnell. Oh, and man, they've lost half and again their viewership at MSNBC and CBS. I mean, CNN. Down, baby, way down. They're taking a huge hit. Pretty soon, they're not even going to have the right to call themselves a network anymore. I'm probably getting more listeners. Here at ACP, we get more listeners and viewer attendance than Rachel Maddow. But anyway, they're going to continue with this. Now, remember, when you hear collusion, collusion is not a crime. So whenever they say collusion, they're saying, not a crime. They don't know that they're saying that because they think there's something bad here, but there's no there. There's nothing there. There never was. There couldn't have been anything there because this whole thing was a put-up job from the get-go. And Gerald Nadler knows this. Nancy Pelosi knows this. All the heads on either side know this. And you know how we know it's nothing? Here's how. Has the president been impeached? Now, aside from the wing nuts like Sandy Cortez and Mad Maxine Waters and Feinstein and Gerald Nadler and some of the fringe elements, nobody's talking about impeachment. The head, the leaders in the Senate and in the House of Representatives aren't talking about impeachment. Oh, they're making a whole bunch of fuss about this. But here's the thing. If they really believed they had what they needed to impeach, what do you think they would do, America? Yes. Yes, they would be drawing up the articles as we speak. They would have had them ready for this day. But they don't have them ready. There will be no articles of impeachment to draw up. If Nancy Pelosi, Gerald Nadler, Chucky Schumer, Eric Swalwell, all the heads and the imagined heads of the Democrat Party and the Democrat National Committee, if they really, you know, if the Democrats in Washington believed this, really truly believed this, this would have been a done deal. And if they believe it, if they truly believe it, then it is incumbent upon them to draw up articles of impeachment. Right? if they believe that this president is a Russian agent doing the bidding of Russian oligarchs and former communists and KGB dudes, it isn't. They have a mandate, they have a responsibility, an obligation, a duty to impeach. And yet we see none of the mechanization for the impeachment process. We see a lot of smoke. We hear a lot of noise. But we're not seeing those things. And the reason we don't see those things is because this is just a gimmick. It's a trick. Democrats are going to fool some people. They're not going to fool too many, but they are going to fool some. It's an echo chamber, basically, between the Democrats in Washington, the liberal Fruit Loops, and tallywhacker a-holes throughout the... You shot me, you a-hole, throughout Hollywood and the news. And, you know, that they're going to be upset about it. Cher is going to be upset about it. Poor old Cher. Bless her heart. And I guess that's really all we're going to say about that. But it's just going to be this chain reaction of cranial implosions where these cats, you know, they just lose their minds. And it is a bad day for these people. It's a very bad day. It's a bad day for Cher. It's a bad day for the people that run Los Angeles. It's a bad day for Democrats everywhere. It's a bad day for Democrats in D.C. It's a bad day for CNN, for ABC, for the news departments of just about every damn newspaper in the United States. Thank you, Penelope. We're wrapping it up. But we don't know how bad yet. It's going to take a little while for us to look at that. We're out of time. ACP heard here Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation Radio Network through Blog Talk Radio. Sundays, 4 p.m., Mojo 5.0 Radio. Mojo50.com. You can go there and you can listen, or you can go to the iHeartRadio app. Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum, Talk Radio. Thank you. Talk Radio, West Virginia, Talk Radio, Texas. Check out those spots on Facebook as well. ACP has two pages, A Conservative's Perspective. And the archive podcast page, hit the like button on all those. You'll be glad you did. We will be happy to see you. That's all the time we got. Mark's not on today. He did a show yesterday, so he's taking the night off. God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. We will be back next week taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. We'll see you then.